Hi, I'm Dave, I'm an alcoholic.
My name is Alan, and I'm an alcoholic.
And you're listening to the Young Sober Voices podcast.
The Young Sober Voices podcast.
My sobriety date is May 31st of 2018. Brief history, because we all know how to get drunk, so I'm not really going to get into too much of what it was like. I'd rather get into what happened and what it's like now. But I was originally born in Houston, Texas. I moved to Pennsylvania when I was about 4. Both my parents were addicts and alcoholics, so I kind of had a predisposition for this when I was born. I moved up here with my aunt and uncle when I was like between 4 and 5 years old. And I grew up in PA for all of my life. My alcoholism didn't really take off until I became a teenager. I would say mid to late teens years. I grew up in the middle of nowhere. There are more Amish people in my county, in my town, than there are regular people. There are more cows in my town than there are people. So we didn't really have a lot to do rather than, like, pretty much, I guess, party. We drank a lot. That was kind of like a thing that once you hit a certain age, it's what you did. And where I grew up, you know, I don't remember my prom. When I went to college, I did go to college. I didn't successfully complete college, but I tried. I went to an even smaller town that had a college in it. So that was great. So it went from small town, middle of nowhere, to small town, middle of nowhere, with a college and people from all over the area. My drinking really picked up. I joined a fraternity. Hindsight being 2020, that didn't work out very well for me. And the next, I would say, decade of my life was kind of a blur. For around a decade, I was in the bar industry. I was a bar manager. A hotel and restaurant manager. My life was pretty much surrounded by alcohol and other extracurricular activities, we'll call them. And that's what I was about. That's what I did. That's how I saw myself. That's how I identified myself to other people. You know, I was a chameleon of sorts, you know, and I learned that from a young age. I was an awkward kid in high school, you could say. I was like 110 pounds when I graduated, really, really tiny. I played in a marching band, you know, I was in choir. And that's just, so when I went to college, I had a chance to reinvent myself. And that's what I did, you know. I was in the Army. I thought that would teach me how to, or, you know, maybe who I was. That did not work. Going from military to bar industry to hotel industry. And I just kind of cycled through that. I have 2 DUIs. My second one, I almost killed myself. They told me that I shouldn't have walked away, and I walked away without any damage. I went to jail. I've been to jail a few times, and, never really learned anything from any of that, you know. I was on probation, and probation kind of pushed me to go to meetings, as it were. When I was in jail, I went to my first AA meeting. I couldn't really tell you what it was about. I don't really remember it at all, to be honest with you, but I know it planted a seed, because when I was ready to quit, it gave me a place to Google, you could say, because that's what I did. I Googled it. I remember my first meeting. I went to a men's meeting in my area, and it was different, we'll say. I was not ready to quit drinking. I just didn't want to get in trouble anymore. You know, I was with a girl, and she had pressured me into, you know, hey, Alan, you have a problem, you know, as pretty much every other person on the face of the planet had told me at some point. But I wasn't ready. And, you know, I came around probably 7 years ago. And as I said before, my sobriety date didn't, you know, I didn't quit drinking until 2018. So there was a lot of in and out. There's a lot of pain. I have five children and a stepson. So there was a lot of me not being there. Yeah, it's a lot of kids, I know. But there was a lot of me not being a parent. There was a lot of me, you know, I got married in one of my shorter lapses of sobriety, I would say. And quickly that deteriorated, and I went back out towards the end there. I can remember, you know, my wife had left, the kids went with her. I didn't really have a lot of possessions left. I was working at a bar that was not the nicest place to be, you could say. You know, my life had kind of spiraled into this pit that, like, I just woke up one morning and I don't want to be there anymore. I remembered my sponsor had told me at one point when I was doing that whole cycle in and out thing that I could call him when I was ready to get sober. But until then, you know, stop crying every time something happened bad. When I really wanted to do this thing, I could call him and we could do this thing. And that's what I did. The past 2 years of my life have been unbelievable. I've went through some very hard things in my sobriety, harder things than I've ever gone through while in active addiction. You know, one of the hardest things that I suffered with was the idea that I was never going to have fun again in sobriety. You know, the thing that I saw was in my head, I had this vision of a bunch of old dudes sitting in a table, smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee and complaining about their lives. Like that was I'd already been to AA. So I knew that wasn't what it was, but that's what I thought I was going to become. And I didn't want to be that guy. So I went to Pensipaw in the Cumberland Valley in Pennsylvania. And it was a life-changing experience to see, you know, 300 or 400 people, because I'd never really been to a convention yet. You know, I'd only had a couple months sober of real sobriety. And I saw like 300 to 400 people in age ranges of like 17 to 70. And every single one of them, it was like, they were super happy. And that was super annoying. And they all were having fun. And that was annoying. And because I was miserable, right? Because like, I didn't do anything. I didn't talk to people. I didn't really like reach out to anyone. I wasn't hanging out with anyone, you know. I was the reason that I was miserable. But as a typical alcoholic, I want to blame all my problems on somebody else. It's not my fault. It's your fault. So therefore, you know, I was miserable because of you guys and not because of myself. And when I went there, man, my entire view of sobriety changed. I had so much fun. Just so much fun. I can't even, if you've never been to a young people's conference, man, I encourage you to go. The Eastern Area Conference is in Pittsburgh at the end of March, and it's going to be awesome. And I'm really excited. My wife and I are going to go, and that's really cool. But, you know, I did that, and I jumped right into service after that. You know, one of the cool things about YPA is it teaches you that being of service is super important. I jumped into service in our local Pensipaw committee, you know, and then I jumped into service in our district, and, you know, I started chairing meetings and taking commitments in multiple meetings, and that just kind of sunk the hook in even more and just reeled me in even more, because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't get enough then. You know, I went to a men's retreat, a big book retreat, like 5 or 6 months later. And it just, you know, I just kept going. My son, my youngest son is about to be 6 months old. And he's the only child out of all my children that I've ever seen sober, born sober. He's the only one that I remember. And that's what this program can do for me. You know, it gives me the opportunity to experience things that I've never experienced, life-changing experiences. You know, I get to be there for all of my kids, for my wife. You know, I talked about how, you know, I've been through some rough things. My wife was diagnosed with cancer a couple months ago, about 2 months ago. And if it wasn't for this program, man, I don't know where I'd be, you know. I mean, I can tell you where I'd be. I wouldn't be on the computer at 10 o'clock at night talking to a bunch of people about how I stay sober on a day-to-day basis. I would be probably blacked out somewhere in an alley or doing something crazy. You know, that's where I would be. This program has given me a life beyond, it's, you know, my wildest dreams. And it talks about that, you know, in the ninth step promises, you know, for me, my sobriety is centered around a few things that are very important. Constant communication with my sponsor and my sponsees, constant communication with good friends in sobriety, with my support circle, which is getting bigger by the day. You know, I know people from all across the country in sobriety, and that's so crazy to me. I have people that have reached out from other cities, states, you know, checking in on me after they hear what's going on. And it's so amazing to be a part of something that cool. You know, service work is huge for me. You know, I love driving to, you know, my wife and I just took a road trip a couple of weeks ago to Chester County. In Pennsylvania, past host committee for Pensy Paul threw a spaghetti dinner and jumped in her car. And 4 hours later, we pulled up. You know, it was so fun. And then we left and we went all the way home, but it was such a good time. You know, and these are the things that I get to do because, you know, like I have money to be able to spend on the gas to put in the vehicle that I pay for every month to drive to a place 4 hours away and know that I'm going to be able to drive back. Like, and I'm not going to be drunk and I'm not going to get in an accident. You know, and I'm not nothing crazy is going to happen. Like I'm going to go down there, I'm going to have a lot of fun and I'm going to come home, you know, and these are the things that I get to do. You know, the steps are, I mean, all the other stuff is great, you know, service work, young people and Alcoholics Anonymous, my sponsors, sponsees, all that stuff's amazing. You know, the steps are definitely, for me, an integral part of my sobriety, but for me, the higher power thing and my spirituality is probably the number one thing for me, because I know without that, I wouldn't be sober today, you know, because I am 100% firm believer in the fact that, that spiritual experience is the most necessary thing in our sobriety to keep us sober. And then I've had some of them in the past couple months with everything that's gone on in my life, you know, the constant fight to take my will back and learning that I still can't do that, you know, and that I still don't know what's best for me sometimes, and that's okay, you know, and you know, if it wasn't for things like prayer, meditation, you know, those spiritual experiences that I have, prayer, meditation have been a big thing lately, you know, I wouldn't be the closest to sanity that I've ever been. You know, and I owe that to a lot of people too. You know, a lot of people have taught me a lot of really cool things in this program. Things like how to have patience, how to meditate, because I didn't know how to do that. I'm not one that slows down very well, you know, and I've been able to take these experiences and pass them all to people. Well, you know, I work at a rehab now. I went from selling people beer and getting them drunk to trying to keep them from, you know, getting drunk. That's the thing that this program's done for me. You know, it's opened awesome opportunities for me. And I owe my life to this program, because I wouldn't have a wife or children that I get to see every day, or an awesome, you know, house or job or all these awesome friends if it wasn't for my sobriety and for this program, you know, and that's the truth. That's the reality of the situation for me, is if I wasn't in recovery, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. You know, I have a relationship with my aunt and uncle. I have a relationship with my exes, with my kids' moms. You know, I have a relationship with my kids. My oldest is 9 years old, and I'm a baseball coach, right? So like other people drop their kids off to me and they leave. And they trust that I'm going to take care of them now. Before, you know, I couldn't even get my own kids to get dropped off and with their mom to think that I was going to take care of them, you know. And these are the great things this program's given to me. And I I will never stop trying to pay it back. You know, every time I work through a four step with a sponsee, every time I make a 12 step call, every time I go to work, every time, you know, I go to a conference or go to a meeting or make coffee or chair a meeting or speak at a online meeting, you know, anything is just one billionth of what this program has given me, you know, and if I can have any effect on someone else the way that any one of the people in this program has given or affected me, man, then no matter what I do, it's always worth it, you know, and I can't stress to anybody, and I can't tell you how amazing your life can become. And my life, the craziest part about all this is my life has just begun. You know, I went back to school. I'm going to graduate next year. And like, I don't have to like question if I'm going to graduate. Like, I know that I will graduate. Like, I made Dean's List last semester. I left school with my GPA at the last semester was a 0.08. So like 0.08 to Dean's List is a giant jump. And these are the cool things that like I have to look forward to, you know. And I think the coolest thing, the coolest experiences that I get are to watch newcomers come in and see the light bulbs go off, you know, and the smiles start to form. And you see them like 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, 9 months, a year later. And you're just like, you can just see the happiness and the joy that's in them now. And that is so cool to watch, you know. And my sponsor said the same thing to me, and I didn't understand it, but I get it now. Because I get to watch that, and I couldn't. I don't really know how to put it into words at how amazing this program is, but I think I hit my time limit, so that's all I have.
Alan, thank you so much for speaking. This episode is a little bit different than most of the ones that we record, in the sense that it was recorded live on the Fifth Dimension group, which is an online group for young people in AI. I just wanted to take a second and let people know that if you're looking for more speaker tapes of young people in AA, that's a great resource. You can find the Fifth Dimension group on YouTube, and they record the speakers and put them out that way. So this will actually be out there as well on the Fifth Dimension group's platform. So yeah, thanks for speaking on the Fifth Dimension group and on the podcast. I mean, I could certainly relate to a lot of the things that you talked about. I mean, I worked in restaurants as well. As soon as I started drinking, I found out that was a good way to find people that were over 21 and could buy me booze and had a place to go hang out and drink and not have to get worried about getting caught. You know, you talked about coming to AA and not feeling like you fit in, and then going to your first Pensipa. And even then, you didn't like get right into it. You kind of were on the outskirts for a while. What was it about that first conference that really drew you into it?
So it's crazy. So I actually wasn't going to come. I was working at a hotel and in Williamsport area. The time of Pensipa is usually right over the Little League World Series, so I usually have to work. And I ended up quitting my job, ironically, and I just called some of the guys that I knew that were in the Williamsport bid committee, and told them, hey, is it cool if I come down for the day? So I ended up coming down on Saturday, and I went to, there was this really cool thing called a 24/7 room, like it's just nonstop meetings, like just continuous meetings, and it was, I think I went to like 7 hours of straight meetings, just like, cause I had like, it was a lot of stuff going on in my life. And I was really struggling with a lot of stuff. Is this something I really wanted to do? What am I going to do for the rest of my life? If this is what I, you know, all these kinds of crazy thoughts. So, you know, I went to there, there were some pretty cool topic meetings. The one I went to, was like a campground kind of resort, like a Christian resort area, and they had this really big tent, I remember, and all these chairs set up, and I like went to this topic meeting about love,
like young love and sobriety or whatever, right? I just kind of like, I'm sitting there with people that, I mean, I'm friends with them, but I didn't really know them that well, you know? And the longer I sat with them, the more I realized that this is something that I could really do. And I think the thing that really kind of pulled me in was, so I went to the main speaker meeting that night, right? And they did a sobriety countdown, and I had like 4 months sober. And the response to the people when they stood up for whatever, you know, like I got carried around for like a few seconds and they were like jumping on me and stuff. It was crazy. And, you know, that, and then just they did this crazy chanting and there was all these, like all this shouting, and it was so much fun. And I was really taken aback at first. I was like, what is going on right now? This is not what I'm like, this is not a meeting that I am used to going to. And the speaker just, you know, he talked and it was, I mean, he was hilarious and he was on point. And I remember thinking, I never realized how much I had in common with all these guys and girls. Like, I just, you know, I'd been to so many meetings, you know, and I'd done coffee here or there. I was working through the steps with my sponsor. And I think that was the first time that I really realized that I wasn't the only person who felt the way that I felt, you know. And I also realized that it was a feeling that I was making myself feel, and it wasn't a reality, you know. And like you said, I didn't immediately jump into all this stuff. And I can honestly say that once I did, my entire recovery, my sobriety changed. It like immediately changed. The amount of people that I knew changed like overnight almost. So, you know, it was a really cool experience. And I like build my work schedule around like making sure I can go to certain things now because of how important they are for me to go to. Like, they're really important to me. They mean a lot. They have a very, they're part of a base of my sobriety that is super important. You know, like this is the first year I'm going to go to EC Pod this year in Pittsburgh, the last weekend of March. And I've never been to that. So like, I'm really excited to go to that, you know, and the longer I stay sober, the more conferences and conventions and people I meet. And that all comes right back to that first Pansy call for me.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, you know, when you were sharing, you were saying like you owe your life to this program, right? Because if I'm not sober, I don't have anything that I have in my life. I remember early on, I was told that it's a progressive disease. And even though I'm not drinking anymore, it's still progressing. If I pick up a drink today, I won't pick up where I left off. I'll pick up like I never stopped to begin with, you know, and I don't know what that would look like. I can't imagine where I'd be if I was still drinking at this point, you know?
It's a very scary thought for sure.
Yeah. So as far as Williamsport goes, what kind of service have you guys done?
So there is a partial program that comes to a lot of our events. And we do some work with them. We've started to really try to outreach to a lot of darker counties. Like in terms of like not just young people in AA, but just AA as a whole, we've realized that there are, you know, some of the areas that aren't even like 45 minutes away have like 4 meetings a week, 5 meetings a week, which for like our area, that's crazy because we have like 4 meetings in 1 day. Like, so we've like really started to try to reach out to some of these darker communities, darker areas, you know. We throw all kinds of different events to bring the community together. And honestly, I've seen other bid committees do, you know, jail commitments. And our AA community in our area is really good. You know, so we already do the jail commitments. You know, our district does jail commitments. We do prison commitments. We have a rehabilitation center. We take meetings. So a lot of that stuff was already set up before we put our bid committee together. Now, a lot of our bid committee members take part in all of those different areas. You know, there's not a lot of, in terms of like those kind of
big commitment, like starting things that we're able to do because they've already been put together. But we feel like, you know, at least myself, you know, I don't care if it's YPA or not, as long as I'm getting that message of recovery out there. You know what I mean? And that's throughout our whole committee. You know, we're very focused on the reason that we're doing this, we're not here to win the bid. You know, that's really nice. Don't get me wrong. It would be great if we became a host committee, but we also remind ourselves that, you know, we're not here to make money. It's not about finances. It's about, you know, what are the places that need us to outreach the most? You know, where are places that our voice can be heard? Where there's not a big voice, you know, what can we do to get that message out there to more people, you know, to help the next, you know, sick and suffering alcoholic, because that's really what it's about, you know. So I don't know if we've really done these huge things, you know. We put on awesome events, you know, we get some really cool attendance from the partial guys, the partial program, you know, different people that might not normally come. But we try to focus on a lot of the outside of that, going to different meetings, you know, taking meetings into the jails or into the rehabilitation centers, in the dark areas, you know, going, just taking us as a committee or as a few of us and going to a meeting in Mansfield or, you know, Wellsboro or Troy or whatever area, the Sealands Grove, where there's not these huge young people present. You know, because for me, again, I mentioned this earlier, I thought that, you know, getting sober meant I had to become this old dude that smoked cigarettes, you know, and never had fun anymore. So, you know, that's what we're trying to show people, that that's not what it's all about. You know, you can have a blast and enjoy your life. And I've had more fun in sobriety than I ever did, you know, drinking.
Have you seen the young people's community in Williamsport grow since the bid got started?
Definitely grown. I remember at one point that, you know, there was maybe 7 or 8 of us on the committee. Right now, I think we have like 12 to 13, maybe, you know, but not even just the committee, our events, you know, we're really excited. We have an event coming up this Saturday, on the 15th of February. It's like a Valentine's Day spaghetti dinner. So like, that's usually a really big one for us, because who doesn't love to eat spaghetti, right? Like, that's always a winner. I definitely think there, like I said, there's always been a pretty, you know, as long as I've been sober, there's been a really good presence of AA in our community. I definitely think that the young people presence is growing stronger. I don't think that is 100% affected by us. I think that that's just because, you know, a lot of the younger people are really starting to get out there and talk to people. You know, I don't take credit for that. I think that also has a lot to do with us letting our higher power work through us on a day-to-day basis. You know, my sobriety doesn't just happen for an hour in a meeting or at a convention or over a weekend, you know, and a lot of us that are in that committee feel the exact same way. Every single one of us, actually, you know, we take our sobriety to our jobs. We take our sobriety to, you know, our families, to going bowling or whatever we might do that day, you know, and sometimes that hits somebody and they're like, yo, this guy's different. What's up with him? You know, cause I still know a lot of people from my old life and they still can contact me. You know, I think that if it wasn't for Pensy Paul, people like me wouldn't be sober, you know, and because I'm sober, I'm able to talk to other people who are just like me. And that, I think that comes back to things like being part of a bid committee to bring a conference to our area, you know, and the amount of people that I think that it could really affect, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what you said about, you know, being able to talk to people that are like us, because I think as alcoholics, we have a really beautiful gift that we can help others with a problem with alcoholism that most of the people out there in the world don't have that ability, you know? And you know, it's just like you said, AA happens the 23 hours outside of the meeting. That's when it all happens. You know what I mean? we come and talk about it at the meeting, but it happens outside of it. And it's the same like you were talking about with the conventions, right? You know, we go to the convention one weekend out of the year, but what happens with the bid committee happens the rest of the year, right? And I think that's a great outlook to have. So thanks for speaking on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was an awesome experience. Thanks so much.
The Young Sober Voices podcast is brought to you by the Pennsylvania Bid for ICIPA. If you'd like to have your anniversary announced on the podcast, or if you'd like to announce an upcoming YPOC conference or event, email us at youngsobervoices@gmail.com. If you like what we're doing and want to help us out, subscribe to the podcast and leave a review on whatever podcast app you use. This really helps us get the word out to young people everywhere that they can get sober and achieve permanent sobriety. Until next time, don't drink and keep coming back.
You've been listening to the Young Sober Voices podcast, brought to you by the Pennsylvania Bid for ICIPA.
Yeah, it's a lot of kids, I know.